Speaking on this program is Jim Dearman.
O Thou by whom we come to God, the life, the truth, the way, the path of prayer Thyself hath trod, Lord, teach us how to pray. Those words pertain to a very important subject, the subject of prayer. Lord, teach us how to pray. That's our subject today. We're going to talk about prayer, but we're going to ask the Lord to teach us how to pray. That is, we're going to look at some teachings of Jesus on the subject of prayer. We encourage you to get your Bibles and study with us as we look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. There in the great Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him." In the verses that follow the ones we've just read, Jesus went on to give the model prayer, as we call it, but we learn much from verses 5 through 8 about the subject of prayer. And today we're going to look at four points. We're going to see the sincerity of prayer in verse 5. We're going to see the solitude of prayer in verse 6. We're going to look at the simplicity of prayer in verse 7. And finally, we're going to see the security of prayer in verse 8. First, let's notice the sincerity of prayer. Jesus says, "And when you pray," verse 5, "you shall not be like the hypocrites." You know, a hypocrite is one who is playing a role. He's an actor. He's one who is seeming to be something while he is really something else. Jesus condemned the hypocrites. He said of them, they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets that they may be seen of men. In other words, they are praying to be seen. They're making a show. And Jesus went on to say, they have their reward. They have their reward. Now, what did he mean? He meant that being seen of men and having men think highly of them, even though they are hypocrites, that's the only reward they will ever receive. They will receive reward of men, perhaps, but not the blessing and approval of God. Why are we living? We're living to gain the approval of God. We're living to please God, or at least we should be. So the only reward these hypocrites will ever receive will be the reward they receive in this life from men who believe them to be something while they are really something else. That's what Jesus is saying here. We must be sincere in our prayer to God. In Luke chapter 18, within the context of verses 10 through 14, we find an example of two men who went up into the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee's attitude was one of self-righteousness, and as he prayed, he thanked God that he was the kind of man he ought to be, that he was not as other men, he said, extortioners or unjust or adulterers. Or then he said, even as this publican. You see, he looked at the publican, he compared himself to this publican, and thanked God that he was not like him. And then he, of course, went on to say that he fasted twice in the week and gave tithes of all that he possessed. But now look at the contrast in that kind of attitude and the sincerity of the publican. The publican was one who would not even lift his eyes to heaven. He would not even lift up his eyes. The publican, or the tax collector, as the New King James refers to him, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, there was obvious sincerity in the prayer of this tax collector, but there was insincerity and self-righteousness in the prayer of that Pharisee in Luke 18. Oh, yes, sincerity is important, not only in prayer, but in every aspect of our service and our worship to God. God is spirit, and they who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, John 4:24 reminds us, the words of the Lord himself. Now, to worship God in spirit pertains to our sincerity. We must be sincere in heart. But we must also understand that sincerity alone is not pleasing to God. It must be a part of what pleases God. It must be a part of our lives and a part of our prayer lives. But sincerity alone is not all that God requires. You see, John 4:24, the passage we just noted, also says we must worship God in truth. And to worship in truth means to worship as God has revealed worship to us, the acts of worship, the specific things we're to do in worship, and that's revealed to us in His Word. So it is a combination of worshiping sincerely in spirit and worshiping as God has revealed worship to us in His Word. That's worshiping in truth. But oh yes, sincerity is certainly a part of our prayer life. But now, let's look at verse 6 of Matthew chapter 6 and see the solitude of prayer. We've seen the sincerity of prayer, now the solitude of prayer. Verse 6, But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. It's not necessary for us to make a show of our prayers. In fact, it's wrong to do so. Now, this is not saying that public prayer was not a part of worship during the time of Jesus and that it is not to be a part of our worship. It is. Men are to pray everywhere, as is elsewhere taught in the Scripture in the New Testament. They're to take the lead in leading the congregation in public prayer. Men are to do that. In other words, the Lord requires men to pray everywhere, so He's not condemning public prayer, but He is contrasting the prayer of the hypocrites, which was a prayer for show in verse 5, with the prayer of the sincere child of God, who has his times of solitude alone with God and Christ, praying to God through Jesus Christ. Jesus himself was characterized as a man of prayers. He lived upon this earth. He often went to the Father in solitude as he went off to be alone and to approach God in prayer. He spent much time in prayer, as a matter of fact. So there is value in solitude in our prayer to God, and we need to appreciate that. But now in verse 7 of Matthew 6, we see the simplicity of prayer. Hear those words again. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. On one occasion in Acts 19, there was a multitude at Ephesus who worshipped the goddess Diana. And for a great period of time, they cried out over and over again. They repeated the phrase, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians! Great is Diana of the Ephesians!" Acts 19:34 says that all with one voice, for about 2 hours, they cried out, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians!" Well, that's an example of the heathen using vain repetitions in their prayers. So what he's teaching here is that, as it is often said, a prayer does not have to be eternal to be immortal. In other words, we do not have to pray long prayers and use vain repetitions or repeat certain phrases over and over without meaning and without sincerity. We must understand that the sincere and sometimes, yes, short prayer of the child of God is just as effective, if not more so. So, we do not use vain repetitions. We're not heard, as Jesus says, for our much speaking. This is an important aspect of prayer. But now, finally, we look at the security of prayer in Matthew 6, verse 8, where Jesus says, "Therefore do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him." There's the security of prayer. It's the reassurance that God the Father knows what things we need before we ask. Well, why ask, someone may ask? We do not ask for God's sake, do we? We ask for our sake. Prayer is a strengthening factor in our lives as Christians. Yes, God knows our needs, but there's a security in that knowledge, is there not? It helps us. It reassures us to know that God hears and that God has the power to answer our prayers. In Ephesians 3:20, the Apostle Paul wrote that he, unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Think about it. He's saying God is able to exceed anything we might ask or even think. He has that kind of power. That suggests security, does it not? There is security in prayer. But we quickly add that the security of prayer is only for those who ask according to His will and those who are doing His will. On one occasion, in James chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. James wrote, "You lust and do not have, you murder and covet and cannot obtain, you fight and war, yet you do not have, because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures." Two problems here with the people to whom James wrote. They were not asking. That's one of the problems of prayer. It's an unprayed prayer. That's a problem, an unprayed prayer. But then he says, you're asking and you're not receiving because you're asking amiss. You're asking for the wrong reasons. And so a second thing we must recognize here in this text in James 4 is that we must pray in accordance with the will of God. James 4, 2 and 3 tells us that we must ask according to His will, but if we do, there is security in the knowledge that God will answer our prayers. For us to have that security, we must first of all be on a praying basis, in a praying relationship with God. How can we be assured of that? We may be assured of that by being His children, by becoming Christians. And how does one become a Christian? One becomes a Christian by believing in Jesus as the Christ, by repenting of sins, by confessing Jesus to be the Christ, and then by being buried in baptism for the remission of sins. It's then that we are added to the church, the kingdom, the body of Christ. And as a part of the faithful body of Christ, we have the privilege of prayer, the security of knowing that God hears our prayers, that we can go to Him in accordance with His will, and that we will receive in accordance with His will, and that He will always do what is best for those who are His obedient followers. Oh, what a blessing prayer is in the life of the child of God. Oh, Thou by whom we come to God, the life, the truth, the way, the path of prayer Thyself hath trod, Lord, teach us how to pray. The Word of God does teach us how to pray.